It's 36 past one. Vikings win again. Another close victory. They're 14-2. Defeat the Packers for a second time. Staring at the Lions next week. Lions play a meaningless game tonight. But Dan Campbell acting like Man Campbell, saying he's going to play all of his guys. Vikings Sunday night against the Lions in Detroit. If they win, by now you know this, they're the number one seed in the NFC. They get a bye. And they have a great, great chance to go far. This has been a remarkable season for the Vikings. Robert Smith is kind enough to join us. I've talked to Robert many, many times over the years. One of the greatest Vikings running backs of all time. Still does great work on television coverage for college football and the NFL. Robert, always a pleasure. Happy New Year, my friend. When you are just watching a game at home with family, with friends, and it's a Vikings game, are you the normal, analytical, laid-back Robert Smith, or does the enthusiasm and emotion come out a little stronger?
No, actually, it's mostly just analytical. I do a lot of rewinding. I do a lot of analysis on the commentators.
Yes.
So it's all a part of it for me. But I love it. I mean, I love it as a fan, and I love being able to, you know, especially when it's a home game. You know, I was up there a couple of weeks ago for the Chicago game. And when it's a home game, you know, you can hear the fans, and you can hear Let's Go Crazy playing in the stadium. So the whole experience is really cool. But yeah, for me, it is a lot of analytics. I love to see the nuances of the game and hear the nuances of the broadcast.
Dave, you talked to my producer, Dave, briefly. Dave, I now see Robert watching this game. I see it taking 17 hours because he's rewinding each play. He's offering his family has watched part of the game. They went to bed. They get up. It's the third quarter, you know.
Yeah, checking, you know, Tom Brady's diction. Hey, let's not speak in the passive, all right? Come on.
Okay. All right. So
you pick it, you do a little picking apart of everything.
Oh yeah.
And I shamelessly steal things too. Like
sure.
You know, if an announcer is going to call out an aspect of the offense or defensive play that I hadn't thought of, it sure as heck is going in the memory bank and something I'll be bringing up later on.
Okay, I want to talk more about the team, but Brady's Brady. And there obviously has been a fair amount of talk about him in his first year. What are your thoughts on his transition as an analyst? I mean, he's underpaid. I mean, so he's not getting much for this gig. I hope he can get by, but what do you think?
He's getting better. I mean, and here's the thing that I'll say. You know, being a quarterback was something that came natural for him. Talking on live TV, it doesn't come natural for most anybody. Especially in that type of environment where you're thrown into the biggest spot in broadcasting. And the bottom line is, like, if you say enough things on live TV, you're going to say something dumb.
Yeah, that is correct. Probably, I know that feeling
probably,
well.
And probably a lot of things. And TV, and especially calling games, and this is what makes it so much fun, one of the things that makes it so much fun, like, you have to be so quick, and you've got a very narrow window. You've got all of this information that you've read about during the week and that you've seen during the course of the game, and that you're trying to figure out, okay, wait a minute, is this time to bring in something that I read before? Is it time to bring in something that I just saw on the play? And try and figure that out within the flow of the game. It's not as bad in the NFL, and college gets really bad with hurry-up offenses. But you have to try and do that as best as you can in a very short window of time as well.
You see Robert's excellent work on college and the pro game on Fox. Yeah, I don't want to turn this too much broadcast. I mean, it's when I was calling games and I had to step away because of the health of my son, it's still one of my pet peeves because you're right, you put in a lot of work, whether, you know, it depends on if it's basketball, hockey, baseball, it's maybe the day before, football, you get all week. But you have to let the game dictate if you're able to use that information. And it's too often, and it can be both sides. It can be the play-by-play guy. It can be the analyst. Now, early in the game, you can. But if in the second and third quarter, you're jamming in some info, because you saw some cool note on Tuesday, but it's not germane to the game. I literally will shout out the TV, hey, fill in the blank. It's a great nugget. Has nothing to do with what's going on, though. Yeah. So let's wait. Okay, let's talk Darnold.
Yeah, I won't shout at the TV necessarily, but I'm a person that shouts at robot voices on computerized voices on calls. So, judge yes. not, lest you be judged.
Yes, that is. Oh yeah, trust me. I both ways. That's the reason why we have a text line here, and I definitely get the feedback. Okay, what has impressed you most about Darnold all year, and what impressed you most about him yesterday?
And I could really see this. And it wasn't a lot of time. You could see this happening last year. And I think playing with a guy like Brock Purdy, who was Mr. Irrelevant,
yeah.
And kind of watching the way that he played, I knew that it was going to do a tremendous amount of good for Sam Darnold. And we had a chance to speak with Sam a couple of years ago when he was with the Panthers. And you could just tell the maturity. When I first got to Fox, I think it was my second year at Fox, we called our Notre Dame game USC in the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. So we interviewed him on the field. So it's really cool kind of being able to watch a guy all the way from, through the college journey, the tough beginning, the seeing ghosts in New York and all that, all that kind of stuff. But to me, what I think he's really done is he's just understood how a quarterback needs to operate within a system, with poise, always focusing on his reads and not the traffic around him, and delivering with anticipation. Because if you just wait until guys get open as an NFL quarterback, you're generally going to be throwing it to the other team. So mm-hmm. he's really done a great job, I think. And part of that is the footwork. And that was the most impressive part for me yesterday. And there was a play that I posted about on Twitter, and it was the touchdown to Addison.
Saw it.
And you could see that he felt the pressure. You can't get your eyes on the pressure, and they did an excellent job. And you talk about critiquing broadcasts. I love when the director gets that shot, and it's right on his eyes, and you see him start to move. As the pressure is coming from that right side, he's got a wide rusher on his right, and as calm as day, looking like he's picking up mail or opening the mailbox, like his face just dead calm.
Yes,
just steps up. But as he's stepping up, he turns his shoulder, and you could see the way that he holds the ball, that he understands. Sometimes those guys, as they're swiping around like that, they can knock the ball out. So all of this happens mechanically and automatically for him. And you can see the footwork aspect of it as well, where all of this movement happens. He climbs up just enough into the pocket with his feet in perfect position and just delivers an absolute strike. So to me, it just says that he's a guy that fully understands what's supposed to happen on a play, how it's supposed to work from a timing perspective, but then just goes out there and executes it flawlessly.
You know this 100% better than me, but I'm just going to pick up on a couple of things there. His footwork has blown me away, right? His ability just to make either the dramatic adjustment or the subtle adjustment, just moving up a little bit, right, yep. left, breaking the pocket, maybe breaking containment and not being the guy that puts his head down still, looking for multiple receivers. I also thought that play you're talking about was kind of that connection between Darnold and KOC's creativity, because what an interesting route from Addison, right? I mean, you know this better than me, but that was really unique how he kind of sat down kind of like a classic old-school button hook and then pinned back and went the other way, right? I thought it was like the 1970s for a little bit there. But then, instead of just flattening out right there, he turns and spins the other way. And again, that's where KOC trusts Darnold to make those, Robert, 15, 20, 25-yard throws in the narrow spots. And the fact that Darnold is so confident. Now, maybe it burns him a little bit, including on the interception later. But his accuracy on those throws, Robert, is right near the top of the league.
Yeah, and I wonder, even on that interception, if his left foot hadn't gotten hit or
he steps into. Yep.
Yeah, like I wonder if he would have gotten the actual perfect trajectory because it you know, you could see the corner sloughing off. I couldn't tell if Sam saw that as he was releasing that ball because if that corner wasn't there, that ball is completed. But he dropped back underneath to make the interception. Yeah, but I wonder if if he had not gotten his foot hit there, if he wouldn't have been able to make that completion. But you know that's how you have to play as a quarterback, though. You know that mistakes are going to happen. And if you don't take chances as a quarterback, then you're not going to be able to make those kind of throws. And finding out situationally, I think, when they're appropriate, when to dial that back, that's the art of the game. And it's something that nobody figures out perfectly. You know, it was interesting. I listened to Brady on a radio interview the other day, and, you know, he talked about, you know, the 600 or 700 passes that he threw in a year. And he said, I maybe would have 10 of them that I thought were perfect. Hmm. Right. Like he says, because most people, they don't really know what I'm trying to do. Like the receiver may have caught the ball up, you know, at his face mask. He said, I missed that throw by 4 or 5 inches. I was trying to get that, you know, right at the top of the numbers. Right. So it's that level of detail that it requires. But, you know, there's a time when that's going to become important, right? Like if that coverage, if that defender gets that hand in there at that time. And that's just, you know, those are the variables that we can't account for, right? But that's what makes the game so exciting.
Two last topics for Robert Smith. Robert's kind enough to join us. It's 48 past 1. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. What do you want to say about Cam Akers and the ability to come back and play in this league after not one but two Achilles tears? And then that catch on the rare, really bad throw by Darnold, right? It was I think I went and made dinner by the time he threw that ball and it finally came down. And Akers catches it, and live, I had no idea if he caught it. So just the play and you knowing that position to come back from two Achilles injuries is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I've never, fortunately, never had the Achilles. Had a lot of other ones that I had to come back from, and it's actually, you know, the second one to come back from is a lot easier. Second injuries, because you kind of know what to expect, and you understand that your body's not going to be at 100% right at the beginning, and so you're not really as worried about it. But still, it takes a lot of courage, and I applaud him for that. And you know, on catches like that, you know, it's something in practice you try and simulate. You have, whether it's a running back coach or especially when it's the other running backs, because it's not very difficult for them to throw bad passes. but, you know, we throw passes to each other and you intentionally try and get it into a place that's going to make it difficult for them to catch. And just what an incredible catch. And what a great way to win it or put it away, you know, because I'm sure like many Vikings fans, you know, looking at that score and like thinking, wait a second, we're just up 27-10 and now, you know, sweating at this thing again, but all good. All's well that ends well.
On Twitter on December 24th, as I follow Robert Smith, Robert 26 Smith, I see a school Christmas play photo from 1979. Okay. I want people to check it out. Robert 26 Smith on Twitter.
Wait a second. Were you alive in 1979?
I was 47 at that point. No, I was 14 at that point. Okay.
I didn't even realize you were older than I was.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
significantly.
Yeah.
You're born in a whole different decade.
Yeah, thanks a lot. What'd you say? I can't hear you. Okay, tell people about this school play and who you were playing.
Yeah, so I was actually a page a lot of people thought, you know, I was one of the three wise men. I was not one of the three wise men. I was one of the pages, and I'm not sure what was. I remember being in the play, but I was second grade, so yeah. Not a lot of vivid memories of it. But I remember being in the play. I remember I had to wear tights. Wasn't crazy about that. I remember that there was like a spotlight on me. Like I had to walk all the way around the gym, and there was like this spotlight on me, and I was kind of like frowning as a spotlight was on me the whole time. But the crazy thing about that picture is I didn't get that picture until like 5 years ago.
Oh, that's
and
great.
The guy standing behind me, Tom Holland, not
that Tom
anything,
Holland. Yeah.
No. Tom Holland is the one that sent it to me on Facebook, and I didn't know who he was at the time. I don't really remember interacting with the older kids that day, right? Because he was a fourth grader.
Yeah.
But 8 years later, he would become my fullback.
How about
at
that?
Eastwood High School. And
that's really good.
Like, and what's great? You can look this one up online. You can go to YouTube, and it's Euclid versus Menor, 1987. And Tom was a hell of a fullback and helped us ice that game. But he was my lead blocker on a lot of the ISOs, you know.
Oh, like that's good.
My dear friend, the dearly departed Chuck Evans or Jim Kleinsasser leading on the ISO blocks. Yeah. Tom was a heck of a back, but he sent me that picture 5-6 years ago. I got a real kick out of it. Seeing that my kids do, of course. Do.
Oh, kids have to. They better be needling you about it. Hey, remind it again, my friend, how much I enjoy our conversations. Let's do it, especially during this run, and see how far it goes. Always a pleasure, man. Have a happy new year, and let's talk soon.
All right, sounds good.
Robert Smith on Newstalk 830 WCCO.